Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you that you orchestrate our victory step by step, that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. And today, we're going to begin to jump right in the middle of where we need to go in this series on the anointing of increase, dealing with the anointing of increase, and in particular, the subset of what the Spirit of God has dealt with us about, increasing the fruits of righteousness. Look at your neighbor and say, the fruits of your righteousness are increasing right now in Jesus' name. Oh, glory be to God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want us to begin reading starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You need to know that the word bountiful there does not mean amount. It's actually the Greek word eulogia, which E-U, good, logos, word, good word, which is translated blessing. It's where we get our English word eulogy, to say something good about somebody. And the word blessing means to say something good. Now, there's two thoughts here that are very, very important, because what he's trying to tell you is all of your giving needs to be sown toward good words being spoken. This is why giving toward the reproduction of revelation knowledge is the activation of hundredfold soil. It releases the blessing. I'm going to say that again. I'm not sure you got that. All sowing, you should never sow sparingly toward the reproduction of good words, because it is the revelation knowledge, the reproduction of revelation, as we've just witnessed, that gets the blessing to someone. Amen. Which is why the hundredfold soil is on that. Which is why we're doing everything we can to begin aggressively reproducing revelation on every available voice so that we can become good soil. Amen. It's not really about getting you to give. It's more about becoming soil that you would want to plant into, because it'll change your life. It'll increase everybody that's associated. Yes. We're blessed to be a blessing. Now, so the point is, the way that that should read is, he that sows so that blessings can get to someone will themselves be blessed. Now later he uses the word bountiful he uses it several places, but for example, verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. That's a different word. That's not the word for blessing. That's a different Greek word. And it's the word that he used all the way back over here in chapter 8, verse 2, where it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. See the word liberality there in 2 Corinthians 8, 2? The word liberality there is literally the Greek word for sincerity or simplicity. So this has to do now with motive. This has to do with the heart motive of giving. So that when you come back over to chapter 9 in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, there is the same word translated liberality in 8:2, and it means simplicity or sincerity. What he's saying is your giving is going to affect the motive of your heart, which is why that you don't need to give grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. The idea is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And your giving is designed to move your heart. Giving is designed to move your inner man, your spirit man, into the purpose of the grace apportioned, which is why all giving, and we're going to read this again, all giving should go toward the activation and the manifestation of that grace. Because he says, verse 6 again, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which sows so that blessings can come to someone shall also reap blessings back to himself, so that the good word of God can go forth. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what?
A cheerful giver,
and God is able to make. God is able to make. All grace abound towards you. But it indicates that it isn't always in operation. Evidently, it's not always abounding, or he wouldn't be able to make it abound. I mean, if it was just going to abound no matter what you did. So he's trying to teach us how to activate the fullness of the grace that belongs to us. And that's why we do this on purpose. This is the purpose of understanding this spiritual law. To release the spiritual laws necessary for all the grace that belongs to us to begin to manifest and abound. Amen. Glory to God. So that we always having all. Glory to God. So that we always having all sufficiency in all things might abound. So it makes us. So notice, it doesn't just change our circumstance, it changes us. That you may abound. That you may abound to every good work. I said that you may abound. So the idea behind this spiritual law is to activate the grace of God to begin to walk in, to begin to manifest in you more fully. And it'll affect your heart. It's the divine influence. Grace ultimately is the divine influence of heaven on the human heart, empowering human flesh to do what human flesh cannot do in its own strength. So it first starts on the influence on the heart before it can ever translate out into your life. And here giving affects your heart, which is why you can't do it grudgingly or of necessity, because you short circuit the whole system. You've got to do it on purpose, with sincerity, with a sincere belief that this is not only God's will, but His way of operating. So that when you do this, you're sowing on purpose toward getting this grace in operation. Glory be to God. Now, we know that Paul is very clearly talking about purposeful or planned activation of this spiritual law, because when you read the contextual setting, he tells the people, you planned this a year ago. Now finish the performance of this so that you might abound in this grace also. Evidently, the grace of the seed isn't released until the seed's planted. Because he said, just because you had a good intention to sow this seed a year ago, see to it that you finish the performance of it so that the grace can abound. So evidently, the potential of any seed is not released till it's sown. So it's not just about the intention of the heart. It's not just about, well, if I had it, I'd give it. No. We're supposed to be using our faith toward believing the administrator, the head of the church, who's told us to do something. See, that's why he ministers seed to the sower. He's the administrator. That word minister is the same Greek word that's used as high priest. He's the high priest over your seed. The head of the church tells you to do something. And you're saying, Lord, I can't do that right now. I'm not able to do that right now. He says, I know, but my grace is sufficient. So here's the seed that will release my grace. And he'll administrate seed into your hand to get your grace in operation so that you can do something you couldn't do in your own strength. And this grace is able. And so let's look at this grace here. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. How much?
All
grace abound towards you. So that you, always having all. Oh, glory be to God. So we're not going to limit this to enough money in the bank. And the reason we're not is because I'm going to continue to show you what happens here with this law of seed time and harvest. So that you, always having all. Somebody say, always having all. But it'd be great for us to read the Amplified Version together just because it is just, well, it just does me good all over to read it. And God is able to make all grace, that is every favor and earthly blessing, to come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Glory be to God. Now let's read on down. So he goes on to say in verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that administrates or ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. And increase. Everybody say increase.
Increase
the fruits, glory to God, of what? Of your righteousness. Now, once again, I want to point out, increase comes in the manifestation and the manifested form of the fruits, plural, of righteousness. Do you see this? Many times people don't recognize their increase because it doesn't always come in the form of a check or money in your hand. So many times people walk right past their harvest and never know it. Now let me show you what I'm talking about here. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Being enriched in how many things? Being enriched in everything to all liberality, sincerity, and simplicity of walking this thing out. In other words, he goes on to talk about, in fact, let's read this real quick. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only. Everybody say, not only. Not only supplies the want of the saints. So see, he's taking this outside the realm of your need being met financially or physically. It not only does this, but it does much more than increase what you need physically. Glory be to God. So much more. Here's what it does. It is abundant also in many thanksgivings to God, while by the experiment of this administration. Now look at this. You and I are supposed to experiment with this. Now, where does this tie? It ties all the way back to Malachi 3 where he says, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. See, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You're actually supposed to experiment with this and see if God won't release things to you through this law of seed time and harvest that you couldn't get into any other way. Because this is the way the high priest increases his kingdom and increases the fruit of what's right in your life. Glory be to God. So you experiment with it. Experiment with this, he said, because they'll glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your sincere distribution unto them and to all men. The idea is the simplicity of life. One of the fruits of righteousness, and let me explain, I'm going to explain something. Well, I'm a little ahead of that. Let me just stop right there. The simplicity of life enables us, without complication and hindrance, to more easily get the will of God done. For example, this spiritual law will even help us in regards to authority in getting our government to pass righteous laws. Maybe I'm not far enough in the series to help you understand how far-reaching this is. I'm trying to help you understand that when you pray for kings and all that are in authority, he says, pray for all men. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I exhort you that first of all, prayers and supplications be made for all men. Everybody say all men.
All men.
Then he says kings. Then he says all that are in authority. So anyone in a preeminent position. So let's say you needed something and on a local setting, in a city situation. God could bring you into favor because it just seems like that every time you're trying to get that thing done, the board that governs, that has the authority to grant that permit or grant that situation, whatever the case may be, there may be somebody on there that for whatever reason is just obstinate. And their personality is such that they influence everybody else on that board. But they're in a preeminent position. And you know this needs to change or this thing can't go forward. Are you with me? So we're not just talking about kings and all of their authority. We're talking about preeminent positions. We could be talking about somebody on a bank board. We could be talking about an opposing lawyer that won't settle in a legal situation. We could be talking about a city director who's just not born again and doesn't even know he's driven by a devil, that he didn't want any more churches, but he's willing to put up liquor stores. Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
We need to realize what's happening here. He says, pray that we may lead godly and peaceable lives. See, I learned real quick when I was in the Philippines, and shortly after I took off from the Philippines coming home in 1991, there was a guy with a backpack on a motorcycle that had gotten through security. And when the jumbo jet pulled on, lined up on the runway, he fired that motorcycle up and he ran out there, and he was a suicide bomber. He ran out there with that motorcycle, and that airplane got on takeoff roll, and that motorcycle was fast enough, you know, to keep up with that plane on takeoff roll, and drove that sucker right up under the wing and detonated that bomb on takeoff roll, and that jet just exploded in the Philippines. I had gotten out just before that, and I was coming home, and we landed in Hawaii on the way home. And in Hawaii, they had just gone to war at Desert Storm. The January of whatever year that was in the 1990s, I believe it was 91. 1991, January of 91, President Bush had just declared war in Desert Storm, and it took me 6 hours just to get back into my own country in Hawaii. And I was almost stuck there. I was, when I was in Haiti, I was stuck in Haiti for 3 days because of the coup, and couldn't get word out under martial law. Wound up having to bribe a guy to fly us over the Caribbean in a small twin, much like what we have. There were 6 seats, and in those days, fuel was very cheap. But, I mean, you know, a couple hundred bucks a seat sounded good to him. So we found a guy that'd fly us, and we shelled out some cash to get out of there because no airlines were coming in there. It was, at that time, Eastern Airlines was flying, and Eastern came in there, and they overran the airport and took that jet apart piece by piece. We were stuck. See, this is what people don't understand about why we need a peaceable government. It's not just the safety of our lives. It is the restriction and the hardship on getting out the gospel. One of the things that this operating in this spiritual law will do will create a simplicity of lifestyle, which translates to peace. So that you're not fighting through every day just to make a step. This is big. It's a grace that can even come on our nation. Which is why when we sow our taxes, notice how I said that. We don't pay our taxes. We sow our taxes. Because if we activate this law by sowing our taxes, then we'll have authority in the spirit realm and it'll stop some things that are planned for our nation. Amen. See, Jesus didn't have to pay those taxes, and neither do you. The children should be free. I mean, one of the reasons this whole country was founded was because of excessive taxation. They've already gone way beyond what the Constitution tells them they can do. They've already done it. They've violated the very principles on what this country was founded on. But we can sit around and we can gripe about it, or we can operate in kingdom law that'll put some righteousness in our land. Because criticism isn't going to fix it. It'll just put a critical heart in you. And it'll start convoluting and criticizing and causing your heart to be all entangled with the affairs of this world, worried about your taxes and worried about where the government's going and what's all you going to do next. No. Part of the harvest we're looking for here is a simple heart, a sincere heart that wakes up in the morning and is not so pulled and distracted by every other thing that we can't figure out exactly what God wants us to do. And it's called peace. Look at your neighbor and say peace. Hallelujah. Did you notice that what the Holy Ghost had him identify before I ever got into this was the one thing that was keeping him out of his victory? Was the things that drug him over out into an arena where he lost his peace. So we're going to talk about this because there's a far-reaching aspect of what we're dealing with here in the fruits of righteousness and why this is so important. Because the word fruit is plural. And we're going to deal each session with one fruit at a time. And you're going to find how righteousness releases healing, how righteousness releases prosperity, how righteousness releases so many things you never knew it did. What you're looking for, a harvest off your giving. But here he says that part of the fruits of righteousness is to be enriched in everything with clarity and sincerity to know exactly what's right and exactly what's wrong. For example, let me show you this. If we don't get past this, well, we just don't. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at what he says here. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. The what?
Grace.
Everybody say the grace.
Grace.
That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. In everything you are enriched by him. By what? Grace. So utterance, the ability to utter the word. See, the free course of the utterance of the word is a grace. And then knowledge. That means revelation knowledge on what to utter. And clarity about what God's plan and will is. This is a fruit of righteousness. You want this fruit. In fact, let me show you this fruit in another place. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Glory be to God. Philippians 1:4. I'm always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship. Underline that word fellowship because it's the Greek word partnership. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. Now the first day, if you know anything about how this church was birthed, this church was born in the dungeon at midnight in Philippi when Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises. When he says the first day, that was the first day. When the earthquake came and shook all the bands loose and shook all the doors open and the jailer was about to kill himself and there was no light, but the gifts of the Spirit came up in Paul and Paul knew what was going on even though it was dark because the jailer calling for a light sprang in. The jailer and his family got saved. Paul and Silas were taken to the jailer's home, the warden of the jail. His stripes were washed, and in the jailer's in the dungeon and in the jailer's home, the warden's home, was where the church of Philippi got started. That was the first day. And he said, you've been my partners from the first day till now. So he's saying the grace that came and shook the foundations of the jail and loosed the bonds on every prisoner and loosed the doors and started the church, that was the beginning grace of your church. That's not the finishing grace that he's going to take you to. That was just what got us started. Glory be to God. He said, now you've partnered with this grace from the first day, and therefore I am confident of this very thing, or it is right for me to think this about you, that he which had begun a good work. Now when did he begin it? That night in the dungeon. So the work began when the earthquake shook that jail apart and loosed the bands and started the church and the jailer got saved. And he said, the work which began in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Which means this grace that started this thing is going to bring you into full completion of everything that is designed for why you're born again, for why this church even started. Glory be to God. Verse 7, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, all of you are partakers of my grace. The Greek would read this way, partakers of grace with me. So they didn't just get Paul's grace. They got access to all the grace Paul had access to, which is all sufficiency in all things and abounding to every good work. Oh, come on now. Being enriched in everything. So it wasn't just that they got Paul's grace. They got access to all the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would cause them to be confirmed and completed in everything they were called to do. And he said, it's right for me to think this about you because you've been participating financially with me and partnering with me in the gospel from the first day till now. And therefore, you get access through this partnership to all the grace I get access to. Right. Glory be to God. And he says, here's what it'll do. It'll defend and confirm the gospel. Right. It will defend and confirm the gospel. Right. In other words, everything that's trying to stop you from getting it done, it'll defend you from that attack and help you keep moving forward and glory to God. But it also will bring signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm that heaven's with you. I've called you to do this. You're not doing this in your own strength. So this grace will both defend and confirm the gospel. Whatever he's called you to do, it will defend you till you get it done, and it will bring fully the manifestation of God's power to confirm fully everything you're called to do. Oh, glory be to God. And this grace we're talking about here, the abundance of it, according to Romans 5, reigns through the free gift of righteousness. Right. You want to get a revelation that you are the righteous of God in Christ. Right. Because righteousness is the scepter of His kingdom. It is through the doorway of righteousness. It is through the gift of righteousness that grace is activated. And we're going to prove it right here. Look at what he says. Verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. All of this, everything we've just read, is all a part of the fruits of righteousness. Now, what did we just read? Well, why don't we look back at verse 9 and see what we just read? I mean, we could go way back further than that, but let's just start there and look at one aspect of what's one of the fruits of righteousness. Verse 9 tells us, in fact, let's read this in the Amplified as well. You're going to love this. Are you ready for this? Yep. Glory be to God. Look at what he just said is a fruit of righteousness. Philippians 1:9 in the Amplified. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That your love may display itself in a greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Do you see this? That's what the word judgment means. The gift of discerning of spirits. The gift to know the difference between what is God and what's not God. The gift to know what voice is of the Lord and what voices are not of God. This is a fruit of righteousness. And it comes off experimenting with the law of seed time and harvest. See, most people say God gives seed to the sower. Well, they've already misquoted the word. He doesn't give seed to the sower. He administrates it. He ministers it to them. He's the high priest over it. And therefore, he administrates seed into their hand. For what purpose? What's he trying to get them to? How many of you know that when you plant a seed, what are you looking for? You're not just looking for increase. Now follow me here. Yes, you want it to increase. Yes, you want it to grow. The blade, the ear, but after that what? So what are you looking for? Here's the bottom line. You got it. Now, all of that is true, but the word we're really looking for to help our mind get wrapped around it is the word fruit. Because until an apple tree has apples, it's not mature. Until a lemon tree has lemons, it's not mature. Until a tomato plant has tomatoes, ripened tomatoes, it's not mature. So it's increasing and growing all that time. But we're not just looking for increase. We want fruit. What's God waiting for? James 5 says he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman wants the fruit. The whole purpose of sowing and reaping is to get to this place. Not just the increase, but the increase of. The increase of. The fruits. Glory to God. Of righteousness. Now, that means that is all inclusive. So we've already seen that we become enriched in everything. And one of those enrichments would be utterance. Utterance and knowledge. Here, one of the fruits of righteousness is comprehensive discernment and your love walk being developed to the fullest extent. That's a fruit of righteousness. Glory be to God. Now, what happens when that happens? Let's look at verse 10. When that happens, you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and best and distinguishing the moral differences that you may be untainted and pure, unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach. See, this is what people don't get. One of the fruits of righteousness is clearing your heart out so that you can approach God with boldness because you have a sincere heart. You know, I'm not manipulating this thing. I'm not dealing on the side. Are you with me? And this is one of the fruits of righteousness, being enriched to all bountifulness. What is bountifulness? Sincerity, simplicity, an uncomplicated life, an unhindered situation. Things moved out of the way so that there's a highway in the wilderness. The crooked ways being made straight. The high places being brought low and the low places being brought high so that there's no lion or ravenous beast there, that only the redeemed and those with a sincere heart walk on that highway. For the redeemed of the Lord shall return with joy and everlasting joy on their head. See, it clears. What people don't understand is our sowing does so much more than increase a little bit of finances back to us. It clears the path for our grace to manifest unhindered. And then the ability to see through the maze of all the voices that are coming at us. See, we are able. In fact, go back above there to verse 10. Notice what it says. so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent, of real value, recognizing the highest and the best. This isn't just discernment of demons and seeing angels. This is very quickly, with a heart that is pulled and not pulled or distracted, sincere and unsullied, cleaned and cleared out, the ability quickly to see what's best. Oh, yeah, that's what God wants. Oh, yeah, that's how to do that. Oh, yeah. And you're not spending 3 weeks fasting and praying just trying to get all those fleshly attachments out of you. God says something, you're able to do it. Because it's clear. It's not all tangled up with all your desires and what you want. And, well, if I do that, how am I going to do that? And this is why this sowing we're talking about here is planned and purposeful. Because in the process of preparing the gift, you're getting unattached from the sentiment. You're getting unattached from the fleshly tie. See, why did he do that? Why is he doing that? Because it's clear in your heart. The Lord spoke to me while I was meditating Matthew 6 yesterday. And I saw something I had not seen. And he says in Matthew 6:24, he says, no man can serve two masters. He said, you will hold to the one or despise the other, or you will love the one and hate the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon. And then he says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. If we don't get free from this careful attachment to earthly things, mammon has authority to hold us where we are. I saw it. You'll hold to it. The purpose of changing your thought life and your attitude toward these things, that they perish with the using and they are seed, is so that mammon can no longer hold us where we are. Because we grant him authority to hold us where we are. As long as we don't prize and recognize with a sincere heart what is valuable and what's not so valuable. Am I helping anybody here? We're increasing in the fruits. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We're increasing in the fruits of righteousness. Hallelujah. We're increasing. Can you sense the anointing in that? We're increasing in the fruits of righteousness. And we're not going to be held by mammon anymore. We're not going to be held down by mammon anymore. Glory be to God. We're going out there in the kingdom realm, and we're going to experiment with this and approve things that are excellent, and we're going to keep on rising. Higher and higher and higher and higher. We're not going to get ashamed. We're not going to have regret. We're not going to get condemned. We're not going to worry about it. We're going to learn from our mistakes. Glory to God. There's more where that came from. Hallelujah. I can remember when I was young in the ministry, 3 different Sunday mornings in a row, bam, bam, bam. I was in a service, and I was in Tulsa, and I'd been asking God to use me in the gifts. And I got in that service, and that particular service had over 1,000 people in it. Great pastor and his wife there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we'd get up and worship, and I'm telling you, I could feel it just boiling out of my belly. And what it was the gift of tongues, but I didn't know it. And it was just like this, I couldn't even begin to describe. I had to put my hand over my mouth. And I'm sitting there shaking like this. I'd put my hand over my mouth, my tongue's going. Because I'm not knowing enough about these things. I'm sure, first of all, later on I realized it was about me. I was worried about missing it. But it took me a while to get clear enough about that to realize it was pride. It was about me. I really, I played it off like, I don't want to be out of order. I don't want to. And so anyway, went home. And so after three Sunday mornings in a row that happened, I said, God, what in the world is this? And he said, you've been asking me to use you in the gifts. He said, I've tried 3 different times now, but you've resisted me out of fear. He said, and it will be some time before I can use you in this gift again. And that I felt that, and it went, whoo, and that anointing lifted. And it was almost, it was me praying and believing God. It was almost, it was over a year, I think. Maybe not, it's maybe approaching a year before that ever manifested back. This is discipleship class. John G. Lake tells a story about a gift God gave him one time that lasted for a 6-month period of time. He said this gift came on him so strong that he could walk in a hospital or anywhere, even if somebody didn't come and ask you for prayer, when he would lay hands on people, he would immediately know the source of the sickness, what was wrong, how to deal with it. And this lasted for about 6 months. Some of the most stunning, miraculous, I mean, I'm talking about creative miracles, dear God. But he says, in his own writings, but it intrigued him so much, he got to playing with it. See, anytime you don't treat these things as valuable and holy, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And you start treating any manifestation of the Spirit of God as common, you're no longer sincere about it. That's why this bountifulness has to come, this liberality. It means your heart has to be wide open. This is why, and he says, John G. Lake wrote of his own accord, that after 6 months of that gift operating through him, he got to playing with it. And it left him. It lifted. And he never got it back in his lifetime. That's his own writing. One of the things I learned about Mama Goodwin, Mama Dad Goodwin, some of y'all don't know who that is. She would be almost 90 years of age, handling these things for however many years. Dad Goodwin's in heaven, still moving in tongues and interpretation. And when she would move in a tongue and interpretation, I've seen her do it. She would say, oh, she's, you know, 80 years old, 80-something years old. How many tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 times, tongues and interpretation operated through her and changed somebody's world? By this time, she's in her late 80s. And the Holy Spirit would use her in tongues and interpretation, and she would just get this misty look. And she would say, oh, precious Holy Spirit, how sweet of you. How sweet of you to speak to us this way. How wonderful of you to use me in this way. I wonder how often she could have let it be common. I wonder what it is about those old saints that just were so much in love with God. Then when they saw the moving of the gifts of the Spirit, they didn't say, well, you know, 40 years ago I saw all that and I ain't nothing new. What kind of attitude is that? No, and you're not going to have it either. That's why you're writing notes about it and writing books about what happened 40 years ago. Because you've got to get your heart to a place to where you treasure that more than anything that you have. These are the fruits of righteousness. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And we are enriched in all of them.
Amen.
I like it when he wants to come spend a while with me.
Yes.
Glory to God. He just wants to come spend a while.
Yeah.
He's not asking me to do anything. He's not giving me a message to say. He's not asking me to move in the gifts. He's not giving me a song to sing. He just wants to come spend, camp out for a while.
Yeah.
I like you so much, I just want to sit down by you. Let's just hang out. Glory be to God. Woo, I want to be that attractive to him.
Mm.
I said, I want to be that attractive to him.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There's not very many relationships in life that are like this, but you're very fortunate if you have one or two relationships in life where somebody outside of your family is close enough to you that maybe you're on a trip together, you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden it's just, you realize you've been in the car together and you're driving and 2 hours have passed and you hadn't said anything to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not mad at each other and you're not upset, you just... Most people never get that kind of a relationship. They always got to keep the conversation going. Always got to think of something to say. Man, isn't the weather pretty today? It's really usually only husbands and wives. Sometimes husbands and wives don't get there. I want to get there with Jesus.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes.
That is a fruit of righteousness. It is well worth pursuing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was headed to this. James 3 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. So we're going to talk about next week the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You see, peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. So you can see the fruit of righteousness. That's why it's called fruits. Because if peace is in operation, your body's healed. If peace is in operation, your mind's sober and sound. If peace is in operation, your finances are well. You see, the number one fruit that righteousness is going to manifest is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, no more curse. So we're going to talk about all these graces because we want to abound in every one of these graces. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the peaceable fruit of righteousness that is exercised on those that are partakers of your holiness. And we thank you that we'll increase more and more in knowledge and discernment and in all judgment. We thank you that we can expect to experience your presence and your power in this place, both arresting us at times, propelling us at other times, speaking to us, or having us speak to one another. Father, we recognize that the fruits of righteousness go so far beyond anything we have ever asked or imagined. We thank you that we have now in our midst, because of our gracious, liberal, sincere, purposeful, planned sowing that has already been and will continue to be, you're going to release us now into the increase of all the fruits of righteousness.
Thank you.
Woo! Glory to God!
Thank
Which means when somebody sets their feet on these grounds, whatever's wrong in their life will be set right.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God! And we thank you for it. We thank you for that anointing. We thank you for those fruits. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is the scepter of your kingdom in Jesus' name. You can expect healings, miracles, deliverance, financial increase. People coming into their right mind. Glory be to God. I am absolutely convinced that people who have not had their mind right for years, maybe it's an emotional situation, maybe they should be institutionalized, or maybe it's a defect and they were born that way. I'm absolutely convinced that one of the fruits of righteousness is the complete restoration of all these things. The fruits of righteousness will heal ADD and ADHD and hyperactivity, and I want all of it. I said, I want all of it.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.